have your Bibles this evening, I'd like for you to turn just very quickly to the book of Matthew, a very familiar passage of Scripture. I'm sure you've heard sermons on it many times. But sometimes the things that we are most familiar with, we begin sometimes to just let them slide a little bit. Or we begin to think, well, that's the responsibility for somebody else, and I really don't need to get involved. But I want to just call our attention this evening for just a few minutes here, Matthew chapter 28. You remember the context after His death, burial, and resurrection. For some 40 days, the Bible tells us in Acts chapter 1, the Lord Jesus spent some time with His disciples teaching them things pertaining to the kingdom of God. He began to teach them the things that they would need to know in order that they might continue the work that He had started and the work that He was entrusting to them. And so during that period of time, the Lord Jesus Christ gave to His disciples what we find recorded here in our text, that passage often referred to as the Great Commission. As we consider the Great Commission, there are just three things that I would like to call to your attention this evening. First of all, the people of the commission. The people of the commission. In verse 16 and verse 17, the Bible says, "Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw Him, they worshipped Him, but some doubted." I want you to understand that when we talk about the people of the commission, these were not great theologians. These were not great thinkers. These were not great men of renown. These were just simple, common folk. Most of them had been fishermen before the Lord called them. These were just simple, common folk. They weren't great men of education or letters or learning, just common people. In fact, the Bible tells us in Acts chapter 4, verse 13, that when the religious leaders of Judaism saw the disciples, Peter and John, they noticed them, and you know what they said about them? They said, "These men are ignorant and they're unlearned." Ignorant and unlearned. Not only did these men not know everything they should have known, but did you notice what we just read there? The Bible says that these men, after spending some 3.5 years with the Lord, on a daily basis, hearing His teachings, observing His lifestyle, marveling at the miracles that He performed, yet these same men doubted. I'm so glad this is in the Bible. Because what this says to me is that the great work that God entrusted to His followers, He entrusted it to a group of men who did not know everything they should have known, and what they did know, they didn't always believe it like they should. Is there anybody in here besides me that can identify with these guys? Truth is, we all can. And I think the Lord planned it that way because, you see, this great commission was not just given to a select few. It was given to all of us as believers in Jesus Christ. For the Bible says we are His ambassadors. And so we see the people of the commission. There's a second thing that I want us to notice very quickly, the program of the commission. In verse 19 and verse 20, the program is basically broken down into two parts. First of all, we are to teach all nations, the Bible says. We're to go and we are to teach all nations. Now, there's a lot of work being done today in the name of missions. There are some who go and they teach people how to grow better crops, or how to have nice hospitals, or to have good schools, or how to dig wells so people can have clean water. Many things are taught today in the name of missions, but the Bible makes it very clear. Biblical missions is not just teaching people how to have a better life. Biblical missions is teaching people how to prepare for eternity. You see, the message of missions that we are to go and teach, it is defined for us in very clear terms. In Mark chapter 16 and verse 15, we're to go into all the world and we're to preach the gospel to every creature, in case you're not really sure about what that is. In Luke chapter 24, verse 46 and verse 47, The Lord Jesus said that it behooved him to suffer and to die so that repentance and remission of sin might be preached in his name among all nations. You see, we're to teach all men the gospel of Jesus Christ, because it is only by the gospel that men can understand their sinful condition, repent, and receive the forgiveness that only God can give. That's why the Apostle Paul said in Romans chapter 1, verse 16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it's the power of God to salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. And so the program of the commission, number one, we're to teach all nations. Number two, Jesus said in verse number 19, we are to baptize all believers. We're to baptize all believers. I don't have time to spend on this very much, but let me just mention a couple of things for your consideration. Back in Matthew chapter 5, the Lord Jesus said in verse number 14, ye are the light of the world. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Let me tell you why it's so important that we win people to Christ and then bring them into the church. The reason is simply this. No believer will ever be the effective Christian, the effective light that they ought to be, outside the authority of the local church. I'm convinced of that. I'm convinced of that. That's why Jesus said, you're the light of the world. But he didn't want us to be like a bunch of loose cannons going around. He had a very specific plan. Did you notice what he said? He said, a city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. You know why the city on the hill cannot be hid? Listen to it in verse number 15. It's because men, when they light a candle, they do not put it under a bushel, but they put it on a candlestick, and it gives light to all the house. And as the house beams bright, it will reach out to the uttermost parts of the earth. And that's why the city on a hill cannot be hid. Now that's a very interesting thing, but the meaning becomes crystal clear when we remember that in Revelation chapter 1 and in verse number 20, the Bible declares that when John saw the Lord Jesus in his glorified condition on the island of Patmos, John saw him walking in the midst of the candlesticks. And the candlesticks are defined for us as the local church. We're to put our light in the local church so that collectively, like a giant candelabra, we can shine out to the uttermost parts of the earth. Dr. Fred Donaldson had it right when he said, the light that shines the farthest shines brightest at home. And so we're to teach all nations. We're to baptize all believers. And then there's a third thing, and that is this. In verse 20, we're to teach all things. Jesus said, teach them all things whatsoever I have commanded you. I believe this is simply discipleship. In other words, after we win people and bring them into the church, then we ought to disciple them. We ought to teach them. Why? So that then they can begin to grow and mature. So that they can then become fruitful in their life. And so that they also can honor and glorify their Father which is in heaven by the fruit that is produced in and through their lives. Now let me tell you why this great commission, all three parts of it, let me tell you why it's so important. We're living in a world that is multiplying. You can go on the internet and there's a world population clock. And while you're sitting there looking at that website, you can see that clock and it's just spinning as the population of our world is growing. Last time I looked, 6.8 5 billion people live in our world tonight. Now, we throw that number out there and everybody says, wow. But the truth of the matter is, none of us have a clue how much that really is. It's sort of like, it's sort of like the national debt, isn't it? We really don't have a clue how much it is. We just know, wow, that's a whole lot. That's a whole lot. 6.85 billion people. You see, the world is multiplying and multiplying and multiplying. But may I say to you this evening, and I'm not defeated, I'm not depressed, I'm not discouraged. I just want to tell you the truth. we are not reaching our world. We're not reaching our world. You see, the world is multiplying, but most churches tonight are still working in the addition mode. The book of Acts, the days of the early church. In Acts chapter 2, you remember Peter preached on the day of Pentecost, and the Bible says 3,000 people were saved, baptized, and added to the church. Later on in that same chapter, it says, daily they went out preaching and teaching in the temple and in every house. And the Bible says the Lord added daily to the church those that would be saved. And that's the way it was in the days of the early church. They were operating by the principles of addition. But then you come to the book of Acts chapter 6 and you find an amazing change. Because after the book of Acts chapter 6, the word added is never used again in reference to the church at Jerusalem. In Acts chapter 6, it changes, and it says the number of the disciples multiplied. Now, let me tell you what I believe the difference is. When they were working under the principles of addition, the apostles did all the soul winning. The apostles did all the preaching. The apostles did all the visitation. Everything that was done, God did through the apostles. But when you come to Acts chapter 6, everybody was getting involved. Everybody understood that they were called not just to be saved and assured of heaven, but they were called to be an ambassador, a representative for Jesus Christ. And the only way we can do that is when we train people. And that's why this Great Commission is so vitally important, that all three points be carried out: teaching all nations, baptizing all believers, teaching them to observe all things, so that all of us together might be involved in this great work of reaching our world for Christ. Certainly, I believe the Apostle Paul understood this. If you'll turn to the book of 2 Timothy, let me show you just one very key verse. You remember Paul was saved on the road to Damascus in Acts chapter 9. A short time after his salvation, the Lord led him to leave Damascus. He went down into Arabia. I've read the commentaries. There's a lot of debate about where he went. Personally, I believe he went to Mount Sinai. You don't have to believe that. You can be wrong if you want to. But I believe he went to Mount Sinai. And I believe there the Lord taught him. In fact, in Galatians chapter 1, the Apostle Paul said, "The message I preach, I didn't receive it from men. I was taught it by the Lord Jesus himself." And so Paul received this wonderful teaching from the Lord, this message of the gospel that showed how the law and the gospel so perfectly blended together. And that was the message that he carried to all the world, but he didn't keep it to himself. I want you to notice four spiritual generations. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2. "The things that thou hast heard of me." That's generation number one. That's the Apostle Paul. And he didn't keep it to himself. All that God had taught him, he shared it with Timothy. Generation number two. Why did he do that? Notice it. "The same commit thou to," generation number three, "faithful men." Why? Keep reading. "Who shall be able to teach," generation number four, "others also." You see, we're not to disciple people so they can get the spiritual big head, so that they can become proud. You know, some people are so proud they can strut sitting down. But that's not why we disciple people. It's not to give them spiritual big heads. Knowledge puffeth up, the Bible says. But we're to teach them so that they can take what they have learned and share it with others, and that they can then share it with others, and they can share it with others. And by operating under the principles, not of addition, but of multiplication, as every one of us becomes involved in this work, we can reach our world for Jesus Christ. I used to say, God calls some to go, He calls some to send. And I don't say that anymore. I have become convinced God calls all of us to go. He just allows some of us to go further. But it makes no difference whether you cross an ocean or whether you cross the street. The responsibility is the same. We're to carry the message of Jesus Christ to every man, to every woman, to every boy, to every girl. You say, now wait a minute. How can people who do not always know everything they ought to know, and sometimes do not even very much believe what they do know, how could they ever hope to carry out such a huge commission? Well, the thing that brings those two together is found in verse number 18. In verse number 18, the Lord Jesus said, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Verse 19, go ye therefore. When you're studying your Bible, whenever you see that word therefore, you need to remember what it's there for. Go ye therefore. Why? Because all power is given unto me. I'm not a Greek scholar, but if you'll get a good concordance, you'll find that the Greek word that is translated here, power, in our text, that same Greek word is used in Matthew chapter 7. When the Lord finished His Sermon on the Mount, the people, the Bible says, were astonished because He taught them as one having authority. It's the same Greek word that is translated here, power. In other words, Jesus was simply saying here, all power, all authority is given to me. Now you go. You go. I've actually had people who have come up to me. They meet me there on the foreign field. And of course, I'm an American. I'm obviously the foreigner there. And they'll come up, you know, well, what are you doing here in Singapore? I'm a missionary here. And they get kind of this arrogant, indignant look on their face. And they say, well, how dare you? Who do you think you are? These people have their own religion. They have their own customs. They have their own way of living. What gives you the right to come over here and try to convert them and make them into American Christians? That's their term. Actually, we don't want to make them American Christians. We have higher hopes. We'd like them to become biblical Christians. What gives you the right? I'll tell you what gives me the right. All power is given unto me. Now you go. By the way, that same authority goes with you when you go across the street. People come and say, how dare you take my family time? How dare you come over here and bother me? I have my church. I have my way of believing. How dare you come over here and try to convert me and try to tell me things about the Bible? What gives you the right? You can have the same answer. All power is given unto me. This great commission, I know it'll work because we have His authority behind us. But there's another thing that I want you to notice, and that's this. We also have His Spirit within us. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, but ye shall receive power. Now, that's a different Greek word, actually. That's a different Greek word. The Greek word used in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, and it's translated power in our Bible, that's the same Greek word from which we get our English word, dynamite. It's explosive power. And Jesus said, you'll receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and then you'll be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost part of the earth. God's commission to us is a commission that can not fail. It cannot fail because His authority is behind us and His Spirit is within us. Then why is it that we're not reaching our world? The problem is not with the program. The problem is there's too many of us who are just not willing to get involved. May God help us tonight as believers in Jesus Christ. May God help us tonight during this Christmas season. What a great opportunity to share with people the true reason why we celebrate Christmas. That a Savior has come. That He died for the sins of the world. And that whosoever will can put their faith and trust in Him and receive the wonderful gift of God, which is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. May God help us to get involved, to fulfill the commission God has entrusted to us that we might reach our world for Jesus Christ as He commanded. Heavenly Father, thank You tonight for Your word. Thank You for this great church and for the testimony that it has, not only here at home but around the world. Thank You for the many who are involved here in getting out the message of the gospel. Yet, Father, we would be foolish to not acknowledge the fact that there are still many who are just content to sit by and do nothing. Lord, help each one of us to realize that we must be involved. We must have a part if we're going to fulfill the work You've entrusted to us. Lord, I pray tonight that each and every one of us who truly knows You as our Savior would be willing to dedicate and to surrender our lives to You, to be busy about the Master's business of reaching our world for Christ. We ask it in Jesus' name.